We are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come in flesh. And I usually have a handout for you. I have forgotten it. I will give it to you next week. We'll still need the same one next week. Does that make... How's that? Very good. Today we're going to deal with, and you can follow along with our accurizings of the text in your conventional translations. But we will be in Genesis 49, verses 8 through 12 tonight. Many moons ago, we were in the book of Genesis. And because of recording issues and ignorance on my part as to certain technical matters, and how it worked, we stepped out of Genesis for a long time, and we're now back to Genesis because our recording issues seem to have been taken care of, and at least some of them. And it's Genesis up to 49, 6 or 7 is on the internet again. So, see this? I can't say what this is now because I'm recording. It says, shh. So, if you want one of those, take those are for our assembly there, all right? Please see what it is. There you go. And don't say anything because it'll record. So, basically, we have a secret. Here, there we go. Yeah, pass these around. Okay. And no, it isn't. I feel perfectly secure and fine and unruffled. So Genesis 49 is where we are today. In verses 8 through 9, we're picking up, you will remember, just by way of some continuity that we might be able to help you with, Jacob is dying, and he has called his 12 sons, who will become the 12 tribes, but they're not tribes yet, and he's called his 12 sons to him. They'll become the 12 tribes of Israel, but he's called his 12 sons to him, and he has begun to bless them. Some of these sons might not take what Jacob said to them as a blessing. Let's just read until 8 so that you can see what we're dealing with here, get some context to get your bearings in the text, and then we'll pick up with Judah. All of our time today will be dealing with Judah. But it says in verse 1, and again, I'm reading my translation for you. We'll have it for you next week as we cover 8 tribes. Today, we're just going to cover this one. For obvious reasons, this tribe would get more attention. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Be gathered together, and let me cause to be disclosed to you that which will meet you in the after days." Literally, the after days, days after this, so future to them where they are hearing this. How far in the future? Different. Sometimes we can find it in the scripture happening, or at least beginning to happen. Other times, this is definitely way in the last days. All right? Not, it's future still to us. But in the after days, "Be gathered together," verse 2, "and hear, sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, my firstborn, you are my vitality and the beginning of my virility, a remainder of a remnant and a remainder of strength. an impetuosity like water. You won't use reservation. Because you went up to the bed of your father, then you thoroughly profaned it. He went up to my bedding. Simeon and Levi are brothers. So that one didn't really sound like a blessing, right? Simeon and Levi don't get what sounds like a blessing either. Implements of violence are their short swords. Into their confidential communion, my soul won't enter. My glory won't be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they killed a man, and in their good pleasure they hamstrung a bull. Their anger is being cursed because it is strong, and their wrath because it was hard. I am thoroughly dividing them in Jacob and causing them to be scattered in Israel. All right, now verses, that's 1 through 7. You see that what we're dealing with, by Jacob's own words, is that which will meet these tribes that descend from these men in the after days. Verses 8 through 12 are our text then today. Let's read it and then go back a piece at a time and explain it. Judah, your brothers will confess you, your hand on the nape of your enemies. The sons of your father will bow low to you. A cub of a lion is Judah. From prey, my son, you have gone up. He knelt. He has lain down like a lion, and like a lioness, who will rouse him? The rod won't turn away from Judah, nor a legislator from between his feet, until the time when he who is from him will enter, and to him is obedience of peoples. Binding his young donkey to a vine and to a choice vine of a son of a female donkey, he thoroughly washed his clothing in wine and his raiment in the blood of grapes, with redness of eyes from wine and whiteness of teeth from milk. Okay, verses 8 through 12. Judah, your brothers will confess you. This, as well as many of the other names, is a play on words that you can't hear in English, but in Hebrew you can. Judah means praise, or confess. Let's put it that way more accurately, confess. And then your brothers will confess you. So, confess, your brothers will confess you. We're not talking about the kind of confession that you might think of as relates to sin. We're not talking about, I will admit my sin. We're talking about the kind of confession where we make the good confession. When we say the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. When Judah, why is Judah named like this? I went to dinner with my wife this week, and we went out somewhere, and I quizzed her on this, and I said, "Who's the firstborn of Jacob?" And it's Reuben. I said, "What does Reuben mean? Anybody know what Reuben means?" We've dealt with this. You all should know this, every last one. What does Reuben mean? Go ahead. You're usually so cautious, but you're usually right. You just broke your record right there. All right. Sorry to lead you into that and then pull the rug out from under you. Reuben means look. Or see, a son. Next to Reuben is Simeon. What does Simeon mean? I asked my wife, who was born second? What does Simeon mean? There's a guy that used to work. You want to try it again?
No.
There's a guy who used to work with Scott and Corydon. All three of them used to work at the same place. And his name was Simeon. And I see him. He works at the copy place where I get these copied so that I don't bring them to you. And I said, "You know what your name means?" And he said, "Pleasant One." And I said, "Where'd you hear that?" And he said, "One of those name books." I said, "Never believe those name books." Simeon simply means heard, because his mother said that she prayed to God and was heard. So she named him Heard. Then we have, who's next? You, music lover. You're next. Who's next? It's right in front of you there. You've got Reuben, Simeon. Huh? Levi. What's Levi mean? Attached. Now my husband will be attached to me because I bore him three sons. She was the hated wife, you'll remember. In biblical language, loved less. And then we have Judah. And when she bears Judah, she says, "Now I will confess Yahweh." And so she named him Confess. Judah, your brothers will confess you. This man Judah stands here in this language for the one who will come from Judah, whom his brothers will confess. Confess as God. Confess as the Son of God. Confess as the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your hand on the nape of your enemies. This is as to fulfillment, eschatological and messianic. When you have, you remember what the nape is. It's the back of your neck. We have a number of words that talk about this part of the anatomy. Hebrew has more. It's going to be challenging to come up with names for this. We have neck. This is the whole thing. If we're talking about really what's going on inside, you've got the throat. But if we talk about the back, just the back of your neck, that's the nape of your neck. If you have somebody by the nape of the neck, and you're squeezing the nape of their neck, it's like you're debilitating them. That hurts a lot. And you've got them, like you've got them under your control. In the last days, the very last ones, when the Messiah comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it's going to be great for us. It's really going to be anti-great for those who have not believed on him already. They are his enemies, and at this time that we live in, he is extending grace to his enemies. You guys all know this, except maybe our visitors or those of you who are new, relatively new to our assembly. Utterly apolitical person here, right? I mean, I don't care at all. But I must, as I look at things, it's not a political commentary because I don't really care, but I just think, boy, this is a stupid country. I would rip ambassadors out of nations all over the world and say, "We're not on good terms, so much so, you don't have ambassadors anymore. We are not on speaking terms. If you do what you do to people from our country in your country, or if the majority of your people do this, do you know what they do anti-United States, I'm anti-United States. I don't care about it. I'm just saying, as I look sort of as an outsider at it, I think, why would you keep an embassy there? As long as there are ambassadors on foreign soil, the country that has them there are saying, we desire a good relationship with you. 2 Corinthians says that we are ambassadors of Christ. We're on enemy soil. And as long as we're here, really, I mean, maybe I shouldn't talk that way about our government. That's what the Lord is doing. The Lord is saying, you guys treat my people like this. You slander my people in all places. In some places, you kill them, you martyr them. We're not on good terms. We are enemies. But I still want to have a good relationship with you. So I still have ambassadors there all over your planet. When the ambassadors are pulled, when they're pulled out, like by rapture, look out world, because we're leaving just to come back, like up and down. We're coming right back with an angry Savior, if that makes any sense. And his hand will be on the nape of all of his enemies. The messianic fulfillment of things is twofold. It is wrath to those who are not believers at that point, and it is deliverance. And how many of you are old enough, I can probably look around and tell you, to remember that painkiller called Anacin? Anacin is a transliteration of the Greek word onosin, and it means relief. That's an appropriate name, right? We're going to give you relief from your headache or relief from whatever pain you're feeling. Take a relief. Take an Anacin. Well, 2 Thessalonians says that when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, he's going to give Anacin to us, but wrath to the rest who have not received the love of the truth so that they might be saved. Those are the ones upon whom the hand of Judah, picture for the Lord here, will be on the nape of his enemies. The sons of your father will bow low to you. That is, who's his father? Who's Judah's father? Jacob. So the sons of Jacob, or what is his name that God gave him? Israel, the sons of Israel. The sons of your father will bow low to you. Again, we're not talking about Judah the tribe or Judah the man, but we're talking about Judah as to a tribe later. And in the case of Judah, there's one person that absolutely outshines and overshadows everybody else in that tribe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the sons of your father will bow low to you means the Israel of God will worship you. That is, those that God counts Israel, that's anyone who acknowledges the deity of Christ, recognizes the messiahship of Jesus, and has realized, counted it fact, that he is risen from the dead. Worshipping him, we are that Israel of God. We will bow low to him very, very voluntarily. We would love to do that. We're waiting to see him that we can genuflect, that we can prostrate ourselves and do all kinds of other things too, like cheer and look at each other like this is what we wanted, you know. And then verse 9, a cub of a lion is Judah. The whole tribe is a cub. One person is a lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation 5:5, the Lord Jesus Christ. From prey, my son, you have gone up. He knelt. He has lain down like a lion. That this kneeling, this he knelt thing, it's that crouching like this kind of thing that they do when they're about to pounce. And like a lioness, who will rouse him? If you were from the tribe of Judah, it was like You were like Simba and Nala, you know, if you were a, depending on if you were male or female, you were a lion or a cub or a lioness cub, and you waited for the lion who came from the tribe of Judah, the rod, verse 10, won't turn away from Judah. All right, now the rod is a ruling rod. You might call it a scepter. It's that staff of a king that he has, the symbol of the monarchy in the hand of that king. The rod then, placed there for the kingdom, the royalty, won't turn away from Judah. That is, once you have a king of the tribe of Judah, there would never cease to be a king from the tribe.